You're listening to the Sports Biz Podcast, broadcasted live at WNHU on the campus of the University of New Haven. Sports Biz Radio, Monday night, August 12th. Thank God we're back. So we got a big show tonight. We got a big show on Wednesday, live at the Blue Horse.
The guest list is growing.
Oh, my gosh.
Growing.
I hope they alert the authorities.
By far. Those overtime shifts better just pile up. You might want to ask people to stay.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if they know what they're in for down there.
Shout out Lou Petrucci.
Louis coming on up.
There'll be some New Haven support from the athletic department. There'll be, I'm sure, the neighborhood's finest.
Oh, really?
I got people. Oh. I got people.
We definitely got people, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know you have people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I spent a lot of... I was soliciting today for a little bit of my day. I took a break from work.
Yeah. You're rallying the
troops. Solicited a couple of people to make sure they're there.
You're rallying
the Tease them with lies of free things.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that'll always get coaches to show up.
Yeah, well, right.
Right? If it's free, it's
free anything. Free anything.
Just free, really. Yeah, but I tell you, it's garbage. That's okay. We'll take it. You know, we can recycle.
It's garbage you didn't have before.
All right, we're broadcasting live from WNHU on the campus of the University of New Haven on Wednesday night. We'll be rolling down the street. We'll be skateboarding or roller skating over to the Blue Horse. like I said before, we're going to record this over on Spotify, iTunes. So if you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe. So you'll have access to all our shows. If you're really at a low point in your life and you're just completely miserable driving into work, throw on the podcast and we'll be there. Right?
Just call my name and I'll be there?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah, exactly. So we're on Spotify, iTunes, basically every single podcast platform under Sports Biz Radios, also on YouTube. So make sure you check us out if you want to. Jay, how you doing? Mike, thanks for joining us, fellas. So we got a lot to talk about on your drive time here on a Monday evening. It's about 175 degrees outside. How's that for a weather forecast?
What a summer, huh?
It's been awesome. It's been well.
In terms of the heat,
yeah,
right.
I love it. It's like a warm blanket.
I don't believe me. As a human being that spends much too much time outside in the early spring when it's 35,
it isn't.
I'll take 105.
Yeah,
every day.
Exactly.
So
Rhino, join us, Rhino. Anybody in the West Haven area on Wednesday night? We're gonna be down the Blue Horse. We're gonna be broadcasting live. Louis Petrucci is our special guest. He's gonna swim over from Long Island.
Fired up. Talk to him today. Fired up. Shout out.
So we're going to have top 10-ish lists on the greatest all-time Mets and Red Sox.
Now, the caveat, right. Okay? I did my lists.
Yeah.
I can't do a dead and alive.
Yeah.
It's just too... I have two living lists. Mets, Red Sox. Done.
All right. That's fair enough.
Yankees?
Yeah.
For the next show?
Yeah.
When we're there live the following Wednesday?
Yeah, the 21st.
I could probably swing it.
All right.
So
you're going to go, all right, dead and alive.
Yeah, just all-time Mets, all-time Red Sox.
Okay, perfect.
So.
All right, so we got a bunch to talk about. Let's. You want to jump into the news real quick?
Sure.
Then we'll get into crazy, and we'll get into the crazy stuff people talk about, and we'll do all that stuff.
There's a lot of that going around.
Oh, my God. So, all right, so we'll start off with a little bit of in the news. I got a couple things.
Go ahead.
I got a couple things. I'm sorry. I got to tee up my music.
Wow.
How's that?
Wow.
Right. How's that? I don't know. You can't hear it on Facebook, but this is cool. I think this is one of the theme songs from the Mets.
Yeah, right. I think this is a theme song from something that people watched instead of the Mets.
All right. Here we go. All right, so in the news, I pull this from Front Office Sports, which is a daily email blast that goes out, talks about the back end, the business side of sports. So we got a couple things, some that you may not have know, you may not know of, and other stuff that is probably out there in your face, especially if you follow Barstool or any other ESPN probably has some of this, but this is does generally the business side of sports. So the big three. Have you heard of the big three?
Depends which ones you're talking about. Do you want to know what I think of when I think of big three?
Well, what comes to mind?
Okay, number one is the big three of thrash metal, Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer.
Oh, God, way
okay,
off.
Number two,
way
big three of Aikman, Irving, Emmitt Smith.
All right,
the big three, well, the other ones I can't really discuss on there. So go ahead. I'm assuming you mean Nike, Adidas.
So the big three is 3-on-3 basketball league.
I never would think of that.
Yeah,
no.
So it's a 3-on-3 basketball league that was started by Ice Cube about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Actually, they're in the third season now. So it's half court. It's basically hoop it up.
I'm familiar with it,
right?
Yeah.
So it's a version, inside version of street ball. It started off really, really strong. I mean, Iverson plays in it. A bunch of ex-NBA guys. The first couple years, they had 10,000 in attendance, and the ratings are, I think it's on CBS.
Wow.
I believe CBS, yeah. So the ratings have been going down over the last couple years. It has now been announced about a year and a half ago that it is going to be an Olympic sport. So you do have to qualify. You just can't be, you know, you're not going to get LeBron and those guys playing because this is a qualifier. Just like if you're a skier or hockey, you have to play in these qualifying tournaments to get in. But anyways, so the big three is out there. It is just like any other league. You look at it as kind of a complementary league or like an arena football league, a small-sided
sure.
game. It has its place. They go into major arenas right now. Once they learn that's, and they probably know it right now, that's way too expensive to have 10,000 average fans.
Right.
But you know, it's entertaining. It's a quicker game.
Yep.
It's the purity of what basketball is. So you don't you rely more on the fundamentals of basketball than just the
run and gun.
Right. So, I mean, the older guys could play. Their legs are still strong because you're not running up and down the court. You know, you're definitely passing a lot. You're definitely shooting even more. It's a lot of one-on-one matchups. But anyways, but on the global side of three-on-three basketball, the time that I was involved with it, the U.S. teams never went that far. So it was always the European teams that did really, because they have 7'2" guys that could shoot threes.
Right.
Right? And they don't play with their back to the basket.
Right. They could play face up.
Right. Yep. So so if you guys have seen that league at all, if you've seen anything about the league, then just let me know what your comments are on it. But I think they're somewhere in it. I think the Olympics is going to help them out right now in 2020 in Tokyo. So it's pretty interesting. I mean, it's being involved in on the amateur side and the Top Gun side. So we did get some good players that qualified globally. I'm not a pure basketball fan.
I like
college basketball during yep. March Madness because it's interesting.
Yep.
I'm not an NBA.
I'm not either.
No, I can't do it. Maybe the finals, but that's about it. But 3-on-3 basketball grabbed my attention. It's music. It's high energy. It's everything you like about the last 2 minutes of basketball. The shot clock is like really ridiculous, like 15 seconds. So it's a fun sport. And there's just an article about it. It's kind of in its pain. You know, they said, look at Ice-T. What do you know? You know about music, but what do you know about the sports side of it? You know, and those two go together. You know, it's entertainment. So,
well, yeah, I mean,
selling
you can,
tickets. It's
not to stereotype, but you can equate NBA play, basketball in general, with hip hop, right?
Right. Yeah.
What does he know about it? He knows he's got money behind him. That's what he knows about.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And he got his manager involved in it, but it's going to survive. I think they just have to tweak the model a little bit, how it's delivered.
Sure.
You know, try to figure out their expenses a little bit more. But
I think the one thing when I think of this whole thing, those ancillary leagues in general in the past, like the ancillary leagues for big sports don't often succeed, right?
Right.
They just don't. Like arena football does to a point, you know. I think this, though, has the opportunity to, because realistically, nobody watches D-League basketball.
Right.
No one watches any other subdivision of the NBA, right?
Right.
Or WNBA, for that matter. Mm-hmm. You watch college, right? College is huge, but this mm-hmm. is different than that. When End One came out, and that was straight up street ball, right?
Right.
I used to love those guys. Escalade, The Professor,
oh,
all
the best.
Of them,
they're
right?
They're still out there.
Hot Sauce.
Yep.
So, but that had popularity, right? And it had a following, mm-hmm. if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the numbers, but that caught on, right? Because it's basketball, but that really wasn't a minor league.
Right.
That was just a whole other entity. I think this has a chance to be that because of the way it's set up. If you start attaching names, the Ice Cubes or the whoever's,
right.
to it.
Iverson.
You start attaching names like that to it, you're going to get people that are at least going to tune in.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't tune in once, you're never going to tune in. But you do it one time, you like it, you come back, right? That's the model. You have the ability to have that.
I don't know what their model is from a financial standpoint. I'm assuming that they're paying these guys pretty well. You know,
enough
to get out there. I think they're going to realize at some point, and I don't know if this is true or not, but once you start, maybe you bring those guys in as partners on this, so there's a little bit of equity play in it.
Piece of the pie, yep.
Piece of the pie, you know, so you could trim your salaries a little bit because they're still going to want to play.
Sure.
You know, they're still going to want to play. And I believe the model is they go in and they play a couple games. So you basically go into a city and you're bringing six teams in. So you're pretty much playing a round-robin tournament over. I believe that's the model. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. But again, there's zero fact-checking on the show, even though I'm reading the article.
That's what's great about us. We can actually read the facts and still not report
still
them.
Still not have no idea.
I mean, that's just called...
Still have no idea what's going
that's
on.
That's just called blind ignorance, right? Yeah. Really? But
Or laziness. It's just...
I'm not here... But here's the thing, Rob. I'm not, and you're not here to report the facts.
We aren't.
We're here to entertain.
That's all. Yes, we give little bits of information, and then we just extrapolate on that.
Right.
How's
it's
that?
Our world.
Yeah, it's our world. So here's another article. It's talking about when kids are quitting sports. You know, at what point in a kid's life cycle, right, is he going all in, and then at some point they're going to hit that wall and saying, you know what, it's just not for me. So the studies of it, and we've known this for a long time, that the majority of kids between the ages of 6 to 12, once they hit that 12 mark, that's when they decide, do I want to play video games, do I want to chase or whatever, am I interested in something else in my life. Right?
I was going to say 12.
Right?
Yes.
12 is that magic number 100%. When kids say, you know, I'm going to go all in.
Yep.
So if I'm going to go all in, that's when they start becoming very specialized in certain sports.
Yep.
Now, I'm just going to play baseball or I'm going to play lacrosse or football
terrible.
Or hockey.
Terrible decision.
It's a terrible decision, but that's what happens by the age of 12. The majority, it's stop playing at that age.
Yes.
So they're done.
Yep.
All the way around. Why? Is because the elite side of it becomes, that's where it is.
You're about to say it.
Yeah, it's on the elite side. So, I mean, Little League Baseball has done that for years. It's a 12-year-old Little League World Series.
Right.
After that, it's you're on your own.
Right.
So that's the pinnacle of Little League Baseball is you got to get to that 12-year-old all-star team.
Exactly.
Right? And then in 12 and 13, that's when you really start, you know, gravitating towards the elite program. So I don't know. We talk about this to death, but you know, it's something that I don't think. As long as the money's there, the long as parents are still willing to pay for it, then you know, it is what it is. So, I looked at it this way. I used to call it when I was in that business. I call it sporkations.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You want a sporkation?
Yeah.
So
yes,
I loved it. I had a great time traveling. You know. My son and I, and every once in a while, we allow mom to come with us. But for the most part, we had great weekends. You know, you go away, you stay in a hotel, you're traveling to, why not go to, Wilkes Bar? Isn't that like a destination?
Yeah, right.
Scranton? Doesn't everybody want to go to Scranton?
The Beast of the East in Wheeling, West Virginia? Right. That sounds fantastic.
Exactly.
Right? Let me chime in here.
Yeah.
This is how I see this.
All right.
You.
Yes.
Okay. Were a father who was a college athlete, played at a high level, okay?
Yeah.
So to me, you're positioned to take that experience and enjoy it.
Right.
You've hopefully and most likely fulfilled your personal goals in sports,
mm-hmm.
which I think is a huge thing. I'm in that same mold. And I think you created a positive and enjoyable experience on those trips. This is my assumption, based on your background. I think that there are too many people who don't do that. I think there are too many people who are living through their children, and they take that tournament in Wheeling, West Virginia, or that podunk town in Pennsylvania as life and death, and they treat those as working weekends rather than what they should be, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And you want to know why people are in droves, kids in droves are turning away from sports? Go to a game in that age group and do not look at the field at all. Look into the stands. The entire game, don't take your eyes off it. Soak it all in and then tell me afterwards what your opinion is.
All right. Are those kids having fun?
Are they?
I don't know. Yes.
And I'm not jaded because I'm in the business. I'm not jaded because I got to be honest with you, as a college recruiter and as a college head coach, 99.9% of my interactions with parents in the long time I've been doing this have been fantastic.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
Well, cuz that's you though.
Yeah,
it's just
but
your
I mean
personality.
But I also think it gets to the level where I am where it's a different thing. My real concern comes when I used to go to my nephew's games. When he was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old,
yeah.
and you're breaking up fights, and you have parents screaming at parents, parents screaming at kids, parents who are not even yelling at their own child, yelling at other children. Like, at what point, we've talked about this. Right. How did we get here?
Right.
So the way I look at it, my son's about 10 years away from this, right? Because he's two. It doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise because from 6 to 7 to 8 to 9 to 10 years old, it's become a stressful thing. Mm-hmm. It's become tension.
Right.
Right? That's what it's become in a lot of ways. And I'm not trying to paint this terrible picture, but I am painting a real one because that's what I do. And the reality is that that's what it's becoming. Because guess what? Every Wednesday at 6 o'clock, you have to go to lessons now.
Yeah.
No, you can't play Fortnite. Or you can't play, forget Fortnite. You can't do anything. You can't play street ball with your kid, with your friends outside because you have to go to lessons at 6 o'clock.
Right.
Why? Because I know one day you're going to get me a scholarship and I'm not going to have to pay for college. But the reality that you don't know is baseball, for instance. Good luck. Good luck. It's not a fully funded sport. I'm just talking from a baseball perspective. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And not to mention the fact, the other cold hard truth, you're not going to probably play at LSU. You know, quite frankly, if you were, you don't need the lessons.
Right.
Like, I hate to say it. Like, I'm in the biz. I get it.
Right.
But this really does strike a nerve with me. These things that we've taken kids, I think, that would probably have enjoyed and wanted to play past that age of 12 and probably shut them off to it.
Yeah.
Because the parent becomes more passionate than the child when it should be the other way around. I know this sounds terrible, but parents should dread, in a way, having to take this kid to his fifth game of the week and he's so fired up to go.
Right.
That's the way it should be. Instead, I think a lot of times it's now reversed. And the sacrifice on the parents' part is huge. I get it. You know, you work and then you have to come home and then on the weekends you have to drive to God knows where or fly or stay in hotels. I get it. It's a huge commitment. But if you can't keep into perspective why you're doing it and why it's important, then...
I have to believe, Chris, and I really do believe this, the majority of parents, as a parent, you love watching your kids compete.
100%.
Like that,
right? And I get that now more than ever.
So
I get that.
Right. And there's so much of that, just I can't wait to watch
I understand.
Him or her play tonight. I have to believe, and I really truly believe that the majority of parents feel that way first and foremost. And you're realistic enough to know that this is just a great moment in their lives, and you as a family that they enjoy it, and it ends there. Right?
I would hope you're right.
Chris,
I want you to be right.
With the people that we traveled with,
sure.
Whether it was through baseball or lacrosse,
yep.
or football, it was that way. You have a small, and to be honest with you, it wasn't necessarily the parents that had played the game. Like, going to the lacrosse was great because 80% of the parents don't
even
know the rules.
Right.
They don't know the rules, right?
Right.
So you always have one dad. But majority of us, everybody's just sitting there with the Red Cup Club. But the other sports, I got to say, traveling, it was always the dad that had a bad experience in high school college.
It's the disgruntled.
It's the disgruntled guy who's... You know, or woman who's, or mom who just, she can't control herself because she's trying to protect her kid. 90% of the people that I've been around, I think a lot has to do with probably the town you're in. And, you know, when you have a head guy like Louie or you have a head guy who's ever there, who's, you know, who kind of sets the tone in that city, you know, about the reality of what they're going to happen.
Ask Louie about the conflicts he has.
I'm sure. But I would say the majority of parents just want to go and watch and enjoy that moment. So, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's a shame that majority of the kids.
Well, let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
All right. I painted the negative picture. I get
it.
But again, I'm in the business, so that's what I see.
Yeah.
Is it because there's a lot of different things now that kids have the option to spend their time on? Do you think that they're... Because let's be honest, growing up, I had more options than you had. I'm a little younger.
Yeah.
You had even less than me.
I think you're a lot younger, I think.
Listen, I'm trying to help you out. Let me help you out. Help me help you. Okay?
Yeah.
But do you think that's what that is? Like, do you think that there are more?
There's
just more things to pique their interest.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Available.
If there was travel ball back then, you didn't leave your town.
No.
Travel ball, then...
Yeah.
There's definitely... We were playing in it. And probably having a great time. Because the majority of the time, honestly... summers were boring, even though we grew up in a beach town, you know, so there was a lot to do that way.
Yep.
But you never saw your friends for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, and so if there was organized sports, real organized sports at that time, I think it would have been different for all of us. But who knows? Because we got to play everything.
Got you.
You know, I mean,
which is probably better.
I played street hockey in playing college football. My summer running was I played
That's
street
awesome.
Hockey.
It's great.
The defenseman. I was horrible. Everyone on the team. Play around in front of the net, Thompson.
Those are things you remember.
Oh,
though, right?
There was no air conditioning in this rink. It was 200 degrees. You're sweating like crazy, and you're having a ball.
Yeah.
Right? You're having a ball. I think it was one of the best things for me because I was just running and my feet, get my feet working. It was great.
Now, let me tell you about the back end of this, right?
Yeah.
So now when you get to me, right? When you get to college baseball, the guys that I have who have been doing this for however long, since whatever age, driving around, going through all this, they really want to play still.
Yeah.
By the time you get to me, you're weeded out. So the passion is never really a question for my athletes that I recruit and get into the program. This is what they want. Because by then, you know.
You know you're the best.
Yeah.
Right? You're one of the best kids on the team. So you want to play.
Yeah. And you've been through all the long trips. You've been through the hotels. Every vacation is centered around it.
Right.
They don't.
You know, that's another thing. Especially when you guys go on your road trips.
Yeah.
You know. 25 years ago.
Exactly right.
These nitwits go on spring training. They didn't know how to handle themselves.
And never been on a plane.
Right, Macaulay? Yeah. Yeah. They didn't know how to handle themselves. Well, either did the head coach, but besides that.
Whoa. That's a whole other episode.
Right, but besides that point, now these kids have been, they're road warriors,
They're ready. They're ready in tune with the whole thing.
They know.
The whole thing.
They're used to it, right?
Now, unless I get the kid that's played Legion ball his whole life, and which it exists. It's fine.
Yeah.
But the majority of these guys are playing high-level AAU. Going down to Myrtle Beach is a walk in the park. They've done it. They've done it since they're 10.
Right. They have more Courtyard Marriott points than we have.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. They get upgraded. I don't.
Right. Where are you staying, coach?
Yeah.
Well, they have there's a broom closet.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Craig, come on up. I got two bedrooms.
Yeah, right. Ponder pool. Pond would be good for you.
Yeah, why not? Here we go. All right. That was good. Let's get a little
crazy.
We're
getting crazy now.
Yeah, we're getting crazy now. So a little crazy stuff people do. I think you have a couple of them.
Oh, my God.
How do you like that for an intro song? I know you guys can't hear it on Facebook, but...
As I told you, any excuse I get to listen to Ozzy Osbourne, I will take.
All right, there you go. All right, so crazy stuff people do is a new segment that we're officially making it a... It's kind of get baked into every single show.
Yes.
So, and we got a bunch of them, so go ahead.
Well...
Do you have a bunch? I just made that up.
Oh, no, I do.
Oh, good.
I have two huge ones. Three total. Two huge ones, okay? Let's start with this one. We were talking about the basketball in general.
Yeah.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
His son plays on a high-level AAU team, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this clip.
I did.
He runs on the court after the alley-oop. He's in the layup line doing windmills.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it? Because I want to give you my opinion first. I'll give it to you a second.
If I was there, I would love it.
Yep.
In the gym.
Okay.
If I'm the kids that are playing, I would absolutely love it.
Yep.
All of us opinionated parents sitting back, you're like, dude, it ain't about you. Don't take away. Now, how is this kid feel about it? Who knows? This kid might be so proud that his dad's LeBron.
It looks like it.
He looks like it. Or he may be embarrassed. Chances are... LeBron James knows that his son probably really enjoys his time, that number one, the guy's involved. He's involved in his life. He's involved in his basketball life. Obviously, I would assume it's a healthy relationship, but everybody else is sitting back and say, dude, kid, come on, LeBron. You know, how much attention do you need? I don't think it was about that, actually. I mean, probably some of it, but he's a dad and he could do it, so why not? And everybody in that gym absolutely loved it. And those kids that are playing against him, and they all...
And his shoe fell off.
And his shoe fell off. Why not?
Well, first and foremost...
That's my opinion on it.
First and foremost, he fronts all costs for that entire team.
Yeah.
Nobody pays a dime.
So how great is that?
Travel.
Yeah.
League fees.
Right.
Everyone on that team is for free, right?
Yep.
Because of him. And that's probably a sidebar, but it's important, right? When it first came out, people were going nuts. Give me a break, LeBron, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I said exactly what you just said. Does LeBron James is our Michael Jordan, okay? Maybe because of the time we're in, he's even bigger. Because MJ didn't have his own social media accounts. MJ went away for a little while. He may have had some gambling issues. He may not have. Right. We're not here to judge.
Allegedly.
We're not here to judge.
No.
Okay?
Allegedly.
But he was Michael Jordan, right? So this is that type of person. Probably bigger in a sense because of just the time. Can you, first of all, imagine if Michael Jordan played today?
Oh, my gosh.
Right? Okay. Do you think he needs the attention of people in an AAU basketball gym?
Not even close.
He can't go to the supermarket. That guy can't go out in public.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, he just can't. So I agree with you. That's a dad who, first of all, has the means. Like, Rob Thompson, Chris Solano, jumps on the basketball court when their son throws an alley-oop. That looks really bad.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are lucky they could dribble.
Yeah, we're like the dad from Hoosiers. We're walking on, like,
exactly.
Is he drunk? What is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm Dennis Come Hopper on. Now. Is
yeah,
that who I am?
He's drunk.
Run the picket fence.
Ah, his pants fell off.
Run the picket fence.
Look at it. It's ridiculous.
So to me, it became that.
Yeah.
I'm fired up. I'm with my son. I didn't really see much wrong with it, to be honest with you. First of all, him in the layup line doing windmill dunks, kids love that.
Love it.
Not to mention, do you know how many dads and moms probably had their phone out? Right?
Everyone.
Well, obviously. Everyone recorded it.
Right.
Now, someone said, well, you're going to get a technical foul and lose the game. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what?
Right.
So then I started thinking, who in their right mind on that team just walks up after the game, say the worst happened. They got teed up. They lost the game because of LeBron's spectacle. Let's just say. Let's just pretend.
Right.
What parents walking up to LeBron James going, Mr. James,
right.
I would appreciate if you didn't run on the court and do windmill dunks in the layup line.
Right.
Who's doing that? Now, no dad in their right mind.
No.
No dad.
And by the way, here's our hotel bill.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You mind picking that up?
Could you get a... Listen, I'm not. No offense to anyone out there. Yeah. Could you get a crazy West Haven / Long Island / New Jersey mom?
Oh, right.
Maybe. The moms, they don't play. They don't play, right?
Oh.
But it's LeBron.
And heels.
But it's LeBron.
Right.
It's not some slapdick college basketball player even that has a son on the team or a nephew. It's LeBron.
It's the greatest basketball player in the world
right.
of our generation and their generation.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
If your son was playing AAU baseball and Babe Ruth came onto the field and said, I want to take BP with you guys today, would anybody be upset?
How great would that
it's
be?
It's the same thing.
Right.
Then your son hits a home run and Babe Ruth runs out to the plate and high-fives him after he touches home plate. Is anyone upset? What are we talking about then?
No.
Right?
Right.
I mean, I don't know. That's just me.
It's the writers. It's
right.
The sports media.
I get it.
Yeah.
But this idea that his ego, he needs the attention of the 300 people in that gym.
Yeah, right.
Well, that guy gets his attention.
Right.
Right? Like, what are we talking about?
People are crazy.
Right.
People
so
are crazy.
We'll just move on from that. I thought it was funny.
People are crazy. It is.
Exactly. The Odd Couple. That's us.
That is us.
This next one is... Do we go one more sports related and then the one non-sports
yeah,
I have? Do you want to do one more sports?
Yeah, let's go.
We could
there.
Spend a month on this, I know, but
oh,
what is Antonio Brown doing?
Oh, it's fantastic.
What's he doing?
It's fantastic.
So he goes to France.
Yeah.
He gets cryotherapy.
Yeah.
Okay? Which
So explain what that is.
They put you in a freezer.
Yeah.
When I say a freezer, I mean you're what is it, like 200 below zero?
I mean, yeah.
It's for body recovery regeneration, right?
All right.
So
does he have to go to France to do that?
No, they are easily available in the U.S.
They're around here somewhere.
Yeah, you're right down the street.
Yeah, right.
So, I'll talk about that in a second. The idea that he goes into this cryotherapy chamber, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
He goes in there without any footwear. Now, with my zero fact-checking ability, from what I understand...
And you're not a doctor, correct?
I play one on TV.
Okay.
So, I'm a doctor of a lot of things, just not medicine. So, you cannot, in the U.S., go into one of these without wearing the booties.
Yeah.
For protection.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, people don't I don't know if the... People who don't know anything about it, and I didn't know this till I started researching, you're only in there for... It's like a blink of an eye, and then you're out. Because it's so cold.
Right.
So you're not in there for 10 minutes. It's like a tanning bed where you do 8 minutes, 10 minutes. Yeah. I believe it's like 2 minutes done. Okay? In France, you're not required to wear... He did this in France. You're not required to wear anything on your feet. He went in. The story goes he got some type of very, very bad frostbite. the bottom of his feet. Long story short, he's still in trouble with it. Hasn't healed. Not good, right?
Did you see the picture?
Yeah, it looks horrible. It looks like gangrene.
See, at first I'm like, man, he must have. I didn't read any of the copy, so my first thought was, man, he must have really worked out this summer. His feet are
just went nuts.
He went nuts.
He ripped the soles off his feet. He worked so hard.
Yeah, he was like the Roadrunner.
Well, maybe he did. Yeah, but his
skin was completely gone.
It's really like,
yeah,
not for nothing. I've had some of that issue on the bottom of my feet.
Yeah.
For that skin to grow back.
Yep.
And then be healthy enough to run NFL receiver routes. I don't know when that's going to be.
Yeah.
Realistically.
Have you seen Hard Knocks yet?
Yeah.
All right. Have you seen just Gruden?
Yeah. He's trying so hard.
It's great. He's just rubbing his temple.
So hard.
You just like, no, like, what else do I need? Like,
well, I'll tell you what else.
Yeah.
So, listen, I'm not faulting the guy for getting cryotherapy. Yeah. And because really, you're doing that for the sole reason of your athletic performance and your recovery,
right?
I get it. Why was he in France? No idea. The guy's eccentric. We know it, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, it comes out. Of course, he left, if you followed even Hard Knocks or the news, he left camp because of his feet. He's trying to figure this thing out.
Yep.
Now, all of a sudden, he's not going to play, allegedly, because of his helmet.
Yeah.
So I heard Willie Colon speaking about this. He played for the New York Jets. Before that, he played with the Steelers, won a Super Bowl. The guy was an All-Pro. Great.
Yeah.
Hofstra alum. Shout out Hofstra.
That's right.
He said the helmet thing is a huge deal.
Huge.
He tried to take his helmet from Pittsburgh, bring it to the Jets, and have them remodel it with the Jets logo. They couldn't do it. He said that's a huge issue.
Yeah, because you break it in. It's like it's like a glove.
But if you're AB, if you're Antonio Brown, at this point, why say anything? You're not with the team anyway. You've just signed a huge contract with them. What are you trying to do? You're supposed to be the leader of the team. You're supposed to be, you know, turning over. You left an organization where it got real bad for you at the end, mainly due to your own actions. You've jumped to this brand new franchise. They're trying to do big things. You got a celebrity, quote unquote, celebrity coach in there who's looking to do big things, and now you're doing this. I don't get it.
Narcissistic sociopath.
100%.
Right, and your captain and your leaders. It's really hard if you're a receiver, because receiver think they care about one thing.
Yep, I want the ball.
They want the ball and they want money.
Yes.
So you can't be a leader.
He's got the money.
Right.
The money's already there.
Yeah.
That's the frustrating part. So
it's one of these things that he's going to look back on and just maybe.
Well, he calls himself an entrepreneur, right?
Right.
An entrepreneur isn't someone who just has money that can. An entrepreneur means you actually created something. You drive a business.
You started the idea and you created it. Yeah.
You're not an entrepreneur because you have $100 million in the bank from your NFL contract. Do you think this is where my mind went? Does he maybe think, you know what? I'll be more popular and could lead me to more things if I say stuff like this, and maybe I don't play.
Right.
This day and age, does that work better?
I don't think so. I just think.
Or I have an option B.
I just think. What's your option B? I just think he's a nitwit.
I have an option B. Did he wake up and go, I screwed up. Yeah. I don't have Big Ben throwing me the football. I'm looking around. I'm not crazy about where I am.
I don't know about that one.
In terms of my numbers. My numbers are not going to be as good here. I know that. I'm just saying. I mean, what's going through his head?
Yeah.
Who's laughing right now? The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, they're dying.
We told you.
Yeah. Yeah. God bless you.
Yep.
It's kind of like when you break up, you got the crazy chick now.
Is Big Ben sitting on his couch looking at the TV screen going, yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to tell you.
No one listened to me.
Well, do you remember last season he went on his radio show and he called out Antonio Brown for dropping a ball in the end zone? They tried to create that whole conflict amongst the two of them.
That's right.
I mean, listen. Big Ben's no quiet boy. We know he's had his issues. But he seems to turn himself around, and it sounded to me like he was just trying to hold someone accountable. And then what did Brown do anyway? Right. Left that team hanging,
he
right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know where that goes.
It goes into crazy land. It goes right into here.
Right. The clown car.
There we go. Antonio Brown.
I mean, you could almost see Gruden's head almost physically wanting to explode. Like like you said, he's rubbing his temple.
I can't wait. I can't wait to Hard Knocks tomorrow night.
Right.
Because
now you're going to see what's
gonna
leaves
happen.
And yep.
You know,
he cut that guy from the Last Chance U.
I loved it
in 10 seconds.
My wife and I are watching it, saying, first of all, this is the NFL for you, right? Just the NFL for you. He was a slug.
Yeah.
All the way through his career.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy, big guy. He has great feet.
Yep.
But the want-to factor,
there.
It was just body language, the whole thing. You can see from day one.
Can you imagine?
How did Gruden even let him get into camp? There's so many guys out there.
I know.
You know, just I get it. It's another body. You need bodies in camp.
No one told me to go see the trainer this morning.
I had no clue.
Excuse me?
I had no clue. I was a little down on that one on Gruden. I was like, come on, man. You got to be a little smarter than that.
Yeah, but if you watched the show, if you watched the reality series of Last Chance U, watching him at Last Chance U, it's the same guy.
It's the same thing. Just slovenly, as my wife said, slovenly sloppy.
But honestly, it's a shame. Yeah. The kid's got a chance to. I mean, listen, he was a long shot, but you're in Raiders camp. What else do you want?
Right. How could you just be lazy about it? I don't know.
I just think that he's. But Rob, I think he's one of those guys that thinks it'll all work out in the end. Don't worry, it's not going to be me, because up until that point, he's been bailed out. He still went from Last Chance. He was at Last Chance U for a reason.
Yeah.
Went from Last Chance U to Division 1A football.
Yeah.
Still got a chance in the pro. Like it all worked out.
Yeah, it all worked out.
Until you get to that level where you're not that good, it doesn't work out.
Right.
And simple. Yeah. So that one. I agree with you. Tomorrow night's episode is going to be fantastic.
I can't wait.
Fantastic.
All right. Yeah.
This next one. This is non-sports. This isn't even... The gentleman I'm going to talk about, I don't want to even talk about what he did because it's so heinous, but the Jeffrey Epstein saga...
It's sad.
Is one that I saw it on Twitter almost instantly when the reports came out about the quote-unquote suicide, and it stinks from the beginning.
Awful.
Right?
I mean,
the guy was on suicide watch, then he maybe wasn't, and then all of a sudden, suicide watch in the prison system is a 30-minute revolving check-in by the guards. It's not easy to commit suicide. So you're telling me he had basically a 29-minute window to get this thing done. If they're really concerned about you taking your own life, as far as I can tell, don't you get put in that padded cell? Don't you get put in, you know, they take measures to make sure you don't. Yeah. Am I wrong?
No. No, you're right.
So does this not reek of, hey, this guy has the potential to bring a lot of powerful people down.
Conspiracy theory?
Well, they questioned or are questioning his cellmate, who was a New York City police officer who just got thrown in there for killing four drug dealers. Listen.
That was his cellmate?
Yeah. Yeah. You can look it up. And listen, no offense to anyone. I'm just talking about what I read. Apparently it was an NYPD guy who was thrown in there with him. That was his cellie who... is involved in this other awful thing, who's probably not getting out. You know, maybe somebody got to him and said, hey, you're not getting out, but I know you got a family. Again, I'm just reporting on conspiracy theories. I will say this.
I'm looking for my music for House of Cards, because it is a House of Cards.
I gotta say, reading this stuff, I have to say, for the first time in my life, I think to myself, who can you trust anymore?
Nobody.
So the attorney general came out and said he wants to investigate, but then they said, oh, wait a minute. But he did that thing with the Mueller case, so he's not credible. Then the FBI chimed in and said they want to investigate, and then they said, oh, wait a minute. But they screwed up the so-and-so case. Either the fault goes all the way to the top and down through the bottom, and we can't trust anyone, or I don't know. I just have this bad feeling when I think of, and here's the funny part. It's taken me away from even thinking about why that guy was in there, which is a whole other thing.
Right.
The whole human trafficking thing, the whole people of power, it's disgusting, beyond disgusting. But I'm thinking of, okay, here's a guy that is going to be a huge, huge piece of a huge, huge case that could bring down a lot of powerful people. Because he was going to sing. He already started naming names. He already started giving out information. And all of a sudden, he ends up dead?
Here's what I think about it. First of all, you're talking about the correction system where you have people that work there are counting every minute and every day until their 20-year retirement.
Correct. Agreed.
Right? So for them to take any type of chances to fudge anything, to look the other way, for what? I don't know, Chris. I could see if he died and he was back in his apartment, and I would believe that theory more so than being in where there's cameras. There's so many layers of people that all they care about is protecting themselves in their retirement, right? Because they work in hell.
Sure.
Right? So to cover up something or to turn their... I don't see that happening.
Unless you follow them, and 10 years from now, someone has a luxury liner yacht that was a former corrections officer.
It would have to be so many different layers of people of being involved in that.
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
Or would have to have some type of suspicion. You know, first of all, the man or woman who was on watch, who had that watch that at that time frame, are going to get drilled, you know, and you have to have them in on it. You have to have just too many layers. I don't know. So outside, I would say yes, but not in the joint. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. That's just my theory on that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, we got off our norm. This is out of the box for us. It's never.
I know.
It's just something that got me. I said, wait a minute. Good time. Well, let's get back to the good times. Let's get back to the good times. I will do my customary mini music segment.
Yeah.
Today, August 12th.
Do I have to get prepared over here?
You could do whatever you want.
All right.
If you prepare,
yeah,
I will bring the info.
All right. So what are we going to do?
This is a good one.
We're going to do a top 10-ish?
No. This is an on this date.
On this date.
Yeah. And this is a big one for me.
Oh, really? All right.
But listeners, do not be worried one bit. There will be a top 10 list today. One I threw together that you'll love. It's coming today. But on this date, in my little music segment, that I'll name it soon. I haven't thought of the name I want yet for my little music rants.
Yeah.
But this will be one of them. For today, August 12th, 1991.
Yeah.
A huge album was released. Huge. August 12th, 1991. The Black Album by Metallica was released.
Wow.
Now, some of you say, well, how is that big? It's a Metallica album. I don't like that music. Yeah. Let me tell you what you do like.
You want to tell us?
Yes, I will tell you what you do like.
Yeah.
You like when Mariano Rivera took the mound to enter Sandman. You like that. You liked hearing that.
Right.
You did. You probably liked some of the songs that you heard that you didn't even know were by them.
Right.
What that album did for the genre of heavy metal was bring it to the absolute forefront of popularity. It opened the door for, you know, other acts behind them. It allowed heavy metal to be on the charts with acts that they never were before.
Right.
And I know people are going to go crazy when I say this. This was almost as big as a Thriller, Michael Jackson Thriller album, just based on what it did to the music industry. Metallica, you know, the hardcore fans, and I'm one of them, don't get me wrong, are all going to say that this was the sellout. They sold out. You know what they sold out? Arenas for the next 28 years based on this album. That's what they sold out.
Did you script that or did you just that?
No, I mean,
top of your head.
That's what they sold out.
Yeah.
I mean, it brought them, they became the great white shark of rock and roll. We talked about this last episode. They're easily the biggest global metal act, but it put them in probably top 5 of all acts.
Mm-hmm.
You can debate it all you want, but it's true. It's true. Go look at this previous tour that they are probably just completing now, if it's even done. I don't know if it's done yet. Look at how much money they've grossed in the past. They've been on tour for 3 years. Look at the money they've grossed. It's staggering, the numbers they're putting up. Staggering. Staggering. And go show me another act that's selling out arenas all over the world. Show me another one. You could probably name two or three.
Rolling Stones.
Okay. Yeah, and they're on the Mount Rushmore of rock and roll, whether you like them or not, right?
Right.
Okay, keep going. You want to say U2 when they tour?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, yeah. They're icons, correct?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Keep going.
All right.
Lady Gaga?
Lady Gaga.
Yeah, she performed with them at the Grammys a couple years ago.
That's
not
right.
To mention,
that's right.
She's a huge fan, which, I mean, I'm a little monster. Gaga and me, we're tight.
I would say Coldplay.
No. No, no, no.
Come on.
That's wiffle ball compared to what we're talking about here. No, 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 no. I'm talking about you play the Staples Center in L.A., no empty seats. You go to Bangladesh, no empty seats. You go to Antarctica, no empty seats.
Bunch of penguins.
They take up room.
They do take up room.
There's very few acts.
And they don't have cell phones.
There's
either.
Very few acts right now that can do that.
Yeah.
That can sell out arenas every single night.
Yeah, and stadiums, too.
But it doesn't matter. Yeah. Just put the stage somewhere, fill it with as many seats as you can by law, they're going to fill it.
Beautiful.
This album kicked that off. It brought them from the underground to the above ground pool onto the Olympic size pool. And again, how many people don't know this song? Age, right now, 55 to 25.
Everybody has heard it at some point.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like, so people may say, you're crazy, it's a Metallica album, but think about it.
Yeah.
Just think about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not. It became the album. The album. Which, I believe I was in 11th grade. Yeah, I was in 10th or 11th grade. 10th grade. And it's still, I mean, I think this album still sells. I'd love to look that up. We don't fact check, but I think this album still sells copies even today.
Sure does.
So, that's my rant.
Beautiful.
It's my music/heavy metal rant. The Black Album from Metallica, released on this date, 1991. It was the Mona Lisa in a lot of ways, unfortunately, for a lot of people, because they think it was a, you know, they sold out. They went mainstream. Well, as a true champion of heavy metal, I think it's okay, because some people needed to hear what we were listening to.
Yeah.
Then you can go back in your hole and you can go listen to the Moody Blues or whoever else you like. No offense, Moody Blues. I kind of like them, actually. But it brought them to the forefront. They still had MTV on their side. The music industry was booming. And this was it.
Yeah.
So,
excellent.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
You should stick to
Black it. Black Album.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Iconic.
Fantastic. All right, what are we up to next?
I have two more things.
Oh.
So, I ran across this article that listed the sandwiches, the staple sandwiches of each state in the U.S.
Oh, this is fantastic.
And I thought it was interesting because some of the states, I had no idea what that would be.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Let me tell you what you're not going to hear. You're not going to hear Connecticut because...
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't feel like scrolling all the way. Like, I was just... it just... But some of the ones I did see, I was like, wow, that's...
I think I saw that.
So, I have Arizona.
I got some good music teed up for you.
I like this, actually. Arizona. This one I could get behind. I would love to try this. Arizona's was the fried bread taco.
Oh, my gosh.
I have no idea what that means or how it's made, but it sounds awesome.
It just sounds good.
The fried bread taco is the staple sandwich.
So, do you think it's kind of like a... it's like a fried dough with taco meat in it?
That's exactly what it is. Almost like a chalupa.
Yeah,
you know, when Taco Bell had
the
chalupa?
Yeah.
But a better end. Yeah. The Rolls Royce of chalupas probably is what it is.
I love it.
Colorado. I have had this. The Fool's Gold Loaf. For those of you who don't know, the Fool's Gold Loaf, okay, is an entire loaf of Italian bread that you cut lengthwise. You dig out the middle piece, you know, the excess, as they call
right.
it, the middle, to
right.
hollow it like a canoe. You make
right.
a canoe.
You make a canoe. You make a
you
bread
slather
canoe.
It with butter,
yeah.
the whole thing. You take a jar of peanut butter. You do one side, the whole jar. Jar of jelly. You do the other side. You cook a pound of bacon. You throw the bacon in the middle. There's your sandwich.
What's it called?
The Fool's Gold Loaf.
Oh, God.
Elvis made this popular
right.
because he would get on his jet in the middle of the night and fly to the one restaurant. I think it was, it had to be Colorado, I'm assuming. And no matter where he was, the middle of the night, he'd fly there, get two of them, crush them on the way back. Can't believe he died of a heart attack. But,
could you believe it?
Among other things he was doing, probably. And so me and my friends may have made this in the past just to do it.
How great is it?
It's fantastic. So he would eat two of these. I couldn't eat more than one piece. It was, but it's unbelievable. The fool's gold loaf.
It sounds great.
It's very easily made at home. Get yourself a jar of peanut butter, a jar of jelly, pound of bacon, butter the bread.
Yeah, you're dead by lunch.
But you'll love every minute of it. I didn't know Massachusetts would be the Fluffernutter peanut butter sandwich. I didn't know that was their staple. Did you know that?
No, figures though.
I didn't know that. The New Jersey staple sandwich, the Italian sandwich.
Really?
That's what they say.
See, I would think it would be, I think it would be pork roll and...
You're still on the Taylor egg and ham and egg.
I had it 2 weeks ago. I can't stop.
You can't get off it.
Can't stop thinking about it.
What do you think New York's is? If you had a guess.
Meatball sandwich.
It makes sense when I heard it.
Meatball.
No. Made sense when I read it. Pastrami on rye. Right?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I was going all Italian in on that one.
Here's my least favorite.
Yeah.
Oregon's is the Garden Burger. Can you get any softer, Oregon?
You really...
Can you get any softer than that?
They can't even help themselves.
The Garden Burger is your staple sandwich?
Gosh.
I really don't have anything else to say about that. Rhode Island, the fried clam roll.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Right?
Maine lobster roll?
Yes.
Yeah, all right.
And then I stopped.
That's it.
Those are the ones that kind of struck me. I don't care about your Monte Cristos. I don't care about your...
Po' boys down in Louisiana.
That was Louisiana. The hot roast beef was...
Boston, right? There's a hot roast beef. Or Chicago.
Chicago got the hot roast beef, but I thought Boston would... That got...
Roast beef is like,
Listen, you can't have it all, right? They got the fluff and utter. Right. You can't have it all.
If you're from Massachusetts, you have to be upset about that one. You gotta be
knowing most of the people I know from Mass. Yeah, they're not happy with that.
They can't be.
So here's the reason I didn't want to look at Connecticut's. Okay,
right.
What do we think it should be? Well, you're a lifer. What do you think?
It's the birthplace of the original hamburger.
True.
Yeah, New Haven.
Okay.
Right.
I'd love to hear other people chime in. I don't know.
I would say Louis' Lunch, man. That's the original.
Okay.
It's still there. Building's still there. The grills are still there.
Makes sense.
Right?
Makes sense.
That's got to be it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me know if we get any feedback. I just would love to know.
Yeah. Eggplant sandwich. Yes, Mrs. Hodgson.
Wow.
I would definitely say an eggplant sandwich.
Eggplant sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you just blew my mind.
I know. With a little moots in there. Oh.
Feel free to send one up next time.
Mrs. H. It's crazy.
So those are the state staple sandwiches.
Fantastic.
Connecticut, I agree, probably is Louis' Lunch.
I would say, I would have to say it has to be it has to be the burger, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got a great When I Was a Kid segment for today.
Oh, hold on.
Great one.
Come on, I don't know if I have, hold on here.
Great one.
Do you? Did you dig deep on this one?
Not so deep, but it's something we can all get behind, I believe.
We can all get behind this one?
Yes, and it will include a top 10 list.
Really?
How great is that?
Oh.
And I believe we're funneling around to cue music.
We are, and I think I got it.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, Kid Rock.
So you got your When I Was a Kid list?
When I was a kid.
Yeah.
The one thing I always, always remembered about summertime. Yeah. These are summertime themes until we get past summer, okay? I was a kid, I always remember going to carnivals, outdoor carnivals, obviously.
Yeah.
And if you grew up in a certain part of this country, Italian feasts.
The Avest.
Yeah, which is the Northeast. It breeds them.
Right. Yeah.
The carnival / Italian feast during the summer.
Yeah.
Was always a highlight.
The best.
It was always great, right?
Right.
I just remember all those games, those nonsense games that was going to take your money. you know, they were all set up. The lights, the rides. It was hot because it was the summertime.
Yeah.
You know, as you got to a certain age, you just went with your friends, and there were girls there. There were fights. Yeah. There was, you know, all the everything coming of age happened at the carnival.
But
right.
But the food.
That is my top 10 list today.
Ugh.
Top 10 Italian feast / carnival foods.
Oh, really? See, you didn't give me a heads up on this one. I wasn't able to.
That's incorrect. That's incorrect. I can go to the text right now if you want.
Did.
And you did respond, and you responded with what would be your number one.
Oh, yeah, fried dough.
No, why? Why?
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Sorry, it's fine.
I thought
that's universal.
I thought you were posing a question to me. Hold on. Let me just tee up a little bit. Oh, fly me to the moon.
Sometimes you get fireworks.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was always those. I remember being a kid and dumping quarter after quarter after quarter in this stupid game that had all these, like, all these prizes that looked so great, and it just had like a metal device, like an arm that would push things,
yeah.
And if it went off the edge, you got it.
You got like a nickel.
Oh, my God.
You got a nickel out of the deal.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the ring toss where they had all the bottles set up.
Yeah.
I hit it once. I threw it up. I looked. It was like David Blaine. Like, I steered it right on top. It stuck. I got some, you know, nonsense teddy bear.
Yeah, you are David Blaine. What's up, Ivan?
The best part is, and this, of course, I'll tie into, you know, of course, this would be me. It was a great place, to be honest with you, to get heavy metal T-shirts.
Was it really?
Yeah, the ones I went to, you could buy T-shirts. Heavy metal T-shirts were huge, and that's where I got a lot of them.
Wow.
So, believe it or not. So, we do have, beyond the fights, beyond chasing the girls, beyond hanging out with the boys, the fireworks, whatever. It's about the food.
It's always about the food,
right?
There, right?
I have my top 10, but I did rank 11, of course.
Right, 10-ish.
Yeah, 10-ish. So we're going to start with my honorable mention.
Okay.
It's the fresh lemonade.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely. They got the thing. They're squeezing it.
They got the press. It comes in. Everyone had the same cup, too. It was weird.
Yeah,
it was
massive.
That big massive cup. You might get a little bit of a pit in there from the lemon, but that's how you knew it was real.
Right.
And it tasted fantastic.
Put a little sugar in it.
It tasted fantastic.
Then they took one of the halves of the lemon.
Throw the lemon right in.
Yeah.
And then you squeezed it and threw it at your friend.
Oh,
like, yeah,
great.
That's how it worked.
Yeah.
Your sister, your brother.
Oh, man. You're throwing at people on rides.
Yeah.
Right.
After you throw up. So the fresh lemonade was my honorable mention.
Yeah.
Loved it. My number 10. I got to admit, I'm not a huge fan of these, but they were just a big carnival staple. My wife loves these. I don't know why. The corn dog.
Yeah, there's no, yeah.
They were big at the carnival.
I know. They're still big. And state fairs are still pretty good.
I know.
Yeah.
That's number 10. I mean, we don't have to spend a lot of time. I'm not a huge fan, but I remember it.
Yeah.
It was very, very present is what it is. My number 9 is the Italian ice. Not the Italian ice in the package, not the one with the little white cup and the ice cream scoop that they used.
Yeah.
And they had the rate. You weren't having a lot of flavors there.
No.
You had lemon. You had cherry. You had
watermelon.
Watermelon. You had the rainbow, the red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
You had the vanilla with the chocolate chips in it.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah. That was one that had chocolate chips in it. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's what you're working with.
That was great.
And it came in the white cup,
yep.
And it was fantastic.
Yeah, and they scooped it because it was in buckets.
Yes, it was in buckets, so it wasn't prepackaged, wasn't that. The Italian ice was
fantastic.
Number 8 is, this one's common. It's in a lot of things other than carnivals, the churro, which, you know.
I didn't see a lot of churros in the vests that I went to.
Well, because you're more the Italian feast than the carnival. This is a mixture.
Yeah, okay.
It's a mixture. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
Number 7, you could smell this. You could smell it. You knew where it was. It smelled great. Kettle corn. Homemade kettle corn.
Kettle corn was the best.
Right?
Oh, it was the best.
It had that distinct smell.
Yes, it was the best.
The kettle corn, and they always had regular popcorn. That was a thing. But no, who's buying that when you have kettle corn, right?
Right.
Especially, there was something about, you could buy it like in the supermarket, but it never tasted as good as it tasted when it was live at the carnival, at the feast.
Right.
Right?
Always a million degrees.
Yeah. And you didn't care.
You didn't care. We get it now. They actually have it set up in our town in a parking lot.
And it's probably
right on the main. $5, you go in there.
And it's great.
Oh, gosh. Your blood sugar levels through the roof. You eat half the bag.
Listen, it keeps you on your toes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
My number six, this item alone will keep most dentists in business. This will rip the teeth out of your head. The candy-dipped apple.
Oh, yes.
You get the popsicle stick.
Yep.
You get it shoved in the apple.
Yeah.
Then I'm going old school where it was just dipped in either caramel or whatever that candy coating was.
Right.
Now they have all sorts of... They do a lot of versions. I always grew up with the top two. And you talk about a mess. It was a built-in mess. But still good.
I like the caramel one. Then they put a little like peanuts or...
Yeah. Yeah, they do what's called the roll, right? Yeah. They dip it, then they roll it.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, the candy apple always reminds me of Carnival Feast. That's the only time I ever got it, if I did.
All right.
Now we're at the top five.
By the way, carnivals, just think about the monopoly they had.
Exactly right.
Right?
All the money that you spent to get in, to buy tickets, to the games, you know, like the and the money you spent ancillary on the food,
yeah.
Parking.
Right. And up here in the Northeast, it was always the churches that did it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So the churches did it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So they weren't paying any taxes on anything. But also...
Churches and firehouses.
That's right. But also, I think the deal was they didn't have to pay for the carnival to come. They just had to get a cut on the tickets.
100%.
Right?
Yep. They get a piece of the gate.
They got a piece of the gate.
Yep.
And then the carnival kept all the merch, kept the games, and then they kept the... Whatever non, you know, the carnival always had like the creepy hot dog guy or
yeah,
whatever.
They kept
But they did all the, they kept all the other concessions.
That's what's called everybody wins.
Everybody wins. It's like minor league baseball.
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins.
So.
All right. So that's why they're still around. All right. So well, are we getting to the Italian stuff?
Top five.
Top five.
We're
all
in
right,
the top five.
Let's go.
Now, again, you brought up a good point. The settings for these were always firehouses, churches.
Yeah. I just remember in churches.
Yeah.
Churches parking
lot. We had firehouse, you know.
Well, it's
so,
Long Island. You guys.
Yeah, we don't.
You guys were having them every weekend.
We'll just throw them anywhere. What do we care? So my number five, the big bag, it was always a clear plastic bag, tricolor cotton candy.
Yeah.
You need the red or the pink, the blue, and there was the yellow.
Yeah.
And forget the stick, forget the, you know, spinning the thing, forget that. It was the one in the bag, all three flavors, big, huge bag, cotton candy. It's, you know, you put it in your mouth, then your hands get sticky. The sugar granulates on your fingers, right? Turns
right.
into the crystals.
Yeah.
And you basically figure out when you get to a point when you're old or older that you're just eating basically a full cup of straight sugar.
That's all it was.
Is what you're eating.
Yeah.
And you love every minute of it.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's five. Number four, your standard funnel cake.
Great.
Powdered sugar on it.
Yep.
The whole nine.
Great. Now they put a little, you know, you get a little chocolate sauce or something. You get
I have seen funnel cakes with marinara sauce on it.
Really?
Tomato sauce on it. Oh, yeah. That's called the Gindaloon funnel cake. At the Italian feast, they make funnel cake with sauce.
Oh,
and then
God.
they sprinkle cold mutz on top.
Yeah. That's legit.
It is very good.
That's legit.
Very good.
Yeah.
This next one was not that popular when I was super young, but towards the tail end of my carnival career, it did become popular.
Your carnival career.
Yeah, my carnival feast career.
Your carnival avesque career.
It became in vogue.
Yeah.
The fried Oreo.
Oh.
That's my number three.
Yeah. We missed that one.
That's my number three.
Yeah. All right.
There's something about frying an Oreo that I know they do everything now, right?
Yeah,
Twinkies, they do.
Right,
but the Oreo was like the first one.
It was.
It
was the one that kind of broke the mold of we're getting outside the box.
Yes. So that's my three. Now,
now that restaurants have them,
So now I'm down to Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth.
Okay?
Don't be disappointed yet.
I'm not because I know what you're going to do. Knowing you now, I know what you're going to do.
This is my Mantle and my Marist and Mantle, my DiMaggio Ruth. This is it.
Yeah.
My number two. And for some reason, it always tastes... Now, listen, I've had this next food item at millions of family functions and events, but I don't know what it was at the carnival or the feast. This is more feast. Well, carnival, too. It always just tasted better. I don't know why. The sausage and pepper sandwich.
Oof. Always. It had to be the grill, and they're just
that's what I'm thinking.
Marinated there,
yeah,
for a long time.
And they got that cheap generic bread.
Yeah,
that was just tasted good.
Right. And it was just greasy.
The sausage and pepper sandwich.
It's the best. And a roll.
Is
right? At a carnival. And they'd always cook the sausage like it would always be in the, you know, it was long and then they just spin it.
Exactly
and,
right.
And they just fold it over.
Fold it over and cut it.
Cut you a nice big thing and.
And if you paid attention.
Yeah.
The guy doing it.
Peppers and onions, actually. Right?
The guy, yeah. Well, sausage, pepper, and onions. Yeah. Like, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
That's semantics.
I know.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, for the most part.
If they don't, they need to get out
more. If you're from the United States, you know what it is. Right.
The guy, I just remember looking at the guy like, this guy's an artist.
Yeah.
He figured out how to spindle the sausage, turn it over, cut it long. Right?
And it was always the 65-year-old.
100% wearing the local 154 hat.
Right?
Yep.
Guinea tee. Got the white guinea tee on with the apron.
Yes.
Right? Chains.
And he's sweating. He's got a gold watch that hangs a little off his wrist.
Yep, the pinky ring.
The pinky ring.
Right.
Yeah, 100%.
And he's got a toothpick.
Yes, and he's a Teamster.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Couple tattoos.
Yeah.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
Right.
Yeah. How you doing, guys?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, they're all there spinning and then, the sausage.
And then you sit there, you take a bite, and that's good, right? Forget about it. Get out of here.
Right.
Didn't even give you a chance to answer.
No, he didn't. There was no answer needed. He knew.
I think that's called my dad and uncle.
I think
I just described them.
Right, they got it.
I think that's what we just described.
They're the best.
Every male in my family.
They're the best. Yeah.
Now we're down to number one.
Yeah.
This is the Michael Jordan. This is the Jordan. Now. Some people call this, there's a couple different names for these.
Yeah.
There's only one name I know for this.
All right.
It's a ball of perfection. A ball of perfectly fried dough dipped in powdered sugar called the Zeppoli.
Oh, Zeppelis are great.
That's the number one.
That's your number one.
By far. The real Gindaloons call it the Zeppelas. You know. The Zeppelis, some people call them. Those are the same people that say, you know, marinara sauce.
Yeah.
The Zeppelis.
Yeah.
Number one. The bag, okay? The white bag.
Yeah.
That you see the grease. You see the grease forming on the bottom. So it's eating away at the bag. It's so greasy. You shake it. You shake it like like shake and bake. Remember that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
And all it's in there is at least.
Just fried goodness.
But there's at least 2 full cups of powdered sugar in that bag. Way too much. And you bit it.
Yeah.
And it looked like. You bit it, and it looked like you were doing blow all night, because then there was white powder
everywhere,
all over you.
Everywhere.
You look like John Belushi on a Saturday night, right? And I'm telling you, it's to this day.
It's the best.
I can eat it every day. It's fantastic.
It's the best.
You felt so bad after, but it was so good while you were doing it.
Yeah, that was definitely our... In the Northeast, you grew up with the vest and the carnivals, and that's what we get.
Zeppelis, you cannot beat. The real ones. They got that density in the middle, and you have the outside got a little crispy, but you're drenched in powdered sugar. I mean drenched. Drenched. You're dusting yourself off like you went through the Sahara after.
So, no, I guess...
What did I miss, Rob? You don't seem satisfied.
No,
tell me what wasn't on the list. I like this.
Fried dough.
What are you talking about? That's a Zeppoli. It's the same thing.
No, the big fried dough with the...
Ah, come on.
You never had it. Come on.
I never had it. Of course I had
it. How did that not make the list?
Because it's my list.
It's ridiculous.
Funnel cake on there. Zeppola's on there.
Yeah.
How much fried dough can you have on one list?
Well, you know...
So you're talking about the big one.
Yeah, that's the big one.
What's the difference between the two? The shape.
Yeah, the vastness.
The Zeppola is the same thing.
It is the same. Well, nah, it's a different kind of dough, though.
Yeah.
It's a different
yours
dough.
Is worse.
Well, no, it's...
I understand.
I know.
I enjoy fried dough. Believe me, who doesn't? But the Zeppola is the... You can't beat them.
No.
I'm sorry.
No, you can't.
You can't beat them.
No, that was a good list. That was a good list.
Makes you want to go to the next Italian feast I see a sign for.
Yeah.
Just turn off the road.
Come on in. It's going to be the same guy making the sausage, too.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
No,
same guy.
Same guy.
Hasn't aged.
No. He's still there.
God.
Yeah.
So the next time, the next time we get together, we'll be in a live setting in public.
Live setting,
in public, which is scary.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, the Blue Horse, West Haven, Connecticut. I hope they're ready.
Uber over.
Yeah, I hope everyone's
ready. Uber over.
Yeah, be prepared. I'll be out of there by 10 after 8, in bed by 8:30, but you guys could stay all night.
It's going to be a good time. It's gonna be. We're going to be live on Facebook as well. So for you that, for all of you that are listening, the three of you who are overseas, my friends, my B-52 buddies over in England, and all my friends around the country, and Chris's buddies all over the world as well in Italy.
That's right.
All over the world looking for us. The Blue Horse. The Blue Horse, Wednesday night, 6 to 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll be there. Facebook Live, you can watch it. And then if you didn't catch this show here on Facebook, you couldn't hear it because we cut off a couple times. Go to Spotify, go to YouTube. It's all going to be there as well.
Any of your favorite media outlets.
So
we'll see everybody Wednesday no matter what.
Wednesday night. Give a wave, Chris, to our folks who are watching.
Keep grinding it out, everybody.
Rambling on.
Dog days are here.
Thanks, everybody. Sports Biz Radio. On behalf of Chris and Rob, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching over there. Sorry, it's spotty reception tonight, but we'll catch you next time. We'll catch you Wednesday night if you're coming on in. Later.
If you fall, I'll catch you,
yeah,
as they say.
I've been asked a great deal about the Sports Biz Startup Weekend, January 24th and 25th, 2020, in Orlando, Florida. And I can tell you the reason why we're really excited about it is because it came about organically. We developed this weekend based upon responses, feedback, and quite honestly, people saying you guys should do a weekend where you're going to bring all your listeners, you're going to bring investors into the same room, startup founders, start over career pivoters, career seekers, college students, educators, all into one space that has some real meat and potatoes behind it, not just inspirational, educational speakers and panelists, experienced influencers and executives in the industry, but folks that have been there before, founders of startups, folks that have been through the process in the sports industry, whether it's technology, apps, events, leagues, doesn't really matter. Media side of it, we want to put all those people in a room where not only are you going to walk away getting tips and tools on some of the basic information that you may find that you use currently out there, so it's best practices sharing, but it's going to be a structured 2 days. It's going to be a structured 2 days. Panelists, guest speakers, into workshops, and real educational workshops where it's going to be wide enough that regardless of where you are in your business or in your career, there's going to be information that's applicable. Whether it's talking about sales and marketing or mindfulness and self-awareness, personal branding, business branding, things that are out there right now are trending in the marketplace. So we're going to have some special events, some kickoff parties as well, networking events where you can meet other folks from the industry with the hopes of collaboration. There's going to be group settings as well where you're going to be able to work one-on-one with some investors and some executives as well as peers. And then we're going to have a private event as well that's going to require an all-access pass to meet investors and more of a private inner circle roundtable on Saturday night. There's different levels of passes for. There's an all-access pass. There's a day just a session-only passes. And then there's a college student pass as well. You can find all that information on GamePlanU.org. That's GamePlanU, one word, the letter U.org. So there's information on the weekend and on there. But the key for us is we felt that it's great. You feel inspired when you go to these events and you leave, and a lot of things, you just get caught back up with your day-to-day grind, your day-to-day challenges, and your day-to-day kind of fires that you could have put out. What we're really excited about is that part of GamePlanU.org is a 90-day program, which we're going to incorporate into these workshops. And basically what that is if you're in a startup mode, start-over mode, or a career-seeking mode, you will outline your goals. What do you want to get out of this weekend? What do you want to follow up with? What are things that excited you about it that you know that you need to execute it on? Whether it's getting a new software, a new process for your sales, new rate card, whatever it is, a new kind of pivoting in your marketing plan or your business model, whatever it is, we're pitch decks. Again, whatever it is, we're going to hold you accountable, but also you need to hold yourself accountable for things that you learn and kind of recoup the ROI and the investment you made to attend the weekend. So we're going to set up a roadmap for you to help you execute on those goals. But we're also going to provide you with the support that you need and the support that you need following the event with those 90-day goals. So it's really a all-inclusive, if you want to call it that, weekend where it's a little bit of everything. Inspiration, learning, education, and then holding you to your goals that you set. So there is real outcome and a real ROI, what you need to execute to get you over that barrier, that hump, wherever you are with your startup or your career or your start over process. So it's going to be an awesome weekend. Find out and learn more about this weekend. Email us at info@gameplanu.org. That's gameplanu.org. gameplan@theletteru.org. If you have any questions, please email us and check it out and learn more on our website. We hope to see you there. This is built around you. We only have 50 spots available for this within our conference room. So it's really an intimate setting. So we hope to see you down there, and always, always, always make it a great day.